Hey guys, welcome to Iron Game Chalk Talk. I'm Ron McKeefrey, and today's guest is Jim Kilbasso. I've known Jim for a lot of years now, and he is one of the best when it comes to speed development, a huge resource for me through the years. He runs a facility up in Detroit, Michigan there, Total Performance. He's been a Division I strength coach. He has written 4 books. He's produced 4 DVDs. And like I said, he's been a huge resource for me. So I can't wait for you guys to get a chance to listen to him. And I know you'll get something out of it. All right, with Jim Kilbasso today. Jim's a good friend of mine. I've known him for a lot of years. Welcome to the show, buddy.
Thanks, Ronnie. Good to see you here on Skype. I told you earlier, you look beautiful.
I don't know about all that, but I appreciate the compliment. Hey, one thing I've never asked you in all the years that I've known you is, how in the world do they let you stay in the state, having gone to Michigan State and Michigan? I mean, that's kind of divided loyalty, isn't it?
That's a good question. My parents weren't happy about it because they both taught at Michigan State. And then when I was in Michigan, Mike Gittleson gave me crap pretty much every single day.
No question. I guarantee he does.
I wore a green shirt into the weight room one day.
Oh,
it didn't stay Michigan State or anything. It was just happened to be the color green. People ran up and they're like, oh no, you got to get that off right now before Mike sees it.
I guarantee that was the case.
Yeah.
Hey, I've been up to your place. Tell everybody about your place, because I mean, they can't really grasp it. But if you can kind of go into a little bit of your background and then tell about the facility that you work at, because it's unbelievable.
Sure. Well, the facility to start with is, I'm not positive it's the largest facility in the country or the world, but I've never seen anything bigger, and nobody else that I know has ever seen anything bigger. We're inside, it's about 350,000 square feet. Since you've been here, we added another field.
That's about 8 fields or something.
Well, it's 3 full size football or soccer fields. And then we've got 2 smaller fields that, they're for younger kids. They're about 60 yards by 40 yards. And then we've got a third, this new field is about 3/4 of the size of a full field. But then we've also got the training center and the restaurant and the baseball and softball training centers and 2 softball fields outside. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's massive. For everything that we do with football guys and combine prep, it's a perfect setup because we can do anything that we need. I can break groups up if we have, you know, skill work to do, and I can have the DBs and receivers go on one field and big guys stay with, you know, on the other field. So it's a pretty awesome setup.
It's unbelievable. I've been there and it just keeps going and going.
Yeah,
you mentioned your combine prep. You know, one of the questions I always fought with was giving a good recommendation to my players as to how much time to take off from when they finish a competition to when they start combine prep. What are your recommendations?
Well, it's a little bit different for every guy. For guys that don't make a bowl game, it kind of works out nice. We start usually like the second week of January. And for a guy who doesn't make a bowl game, that's perfect because they get a few weeks off. Unfortunately, guys that make a bowl game, they don't really have the luxury of taking much time off, especially if they get a combine invite. It's only like 6 weeks away. So what I like to tell guys, yeah, take some time off and recover. Yeah, that's what they should be doing. But unfortunately, if you go to a bowl game and then you take 3 weeks off to recover, you gotta run and do all your drills in 3 weeks.
Right.
And you know as well as anybody, you need some time to get better at these things. And 3 weeks is just not enough. All you're gonna do is get sore. You're going to know the technique, but you're not going to know it well enough to actually master it. So you're going to be thinking about everything. So I like to have about 8 weeks to prepare, because that gets guys enough time where they don't have to think about it anymore. They just know they're going to go out and they get their one shuttle and they're not worried about like screwing it up.
Sure.
So, you know, I wish that they had more time, but you know, that's the nature of the beast. So guys usually have to kind of jump into it. Even if they have injuries, they kind of have to get into it so they can start doing the things that they're at least able to do.
Sure. When they come in that first time, you know, that first week, what are some of the testing protocols that you use? What's step one when they walk in the door?
Well, we go through like a little bit of a history and talk to them about what they've been able to do, what injuries they have, all that kind of stuff. And then we'll go through basically a whole evaluation process where we're doing, we take them through all the combine events so that they know where they're at least. And then we go through some more in-depth evaluation. Like, you know, we don't do the FMS per se, but stuff like the FMS. And we do a lot of flexibility testing just to see what we need to work on with guys. Talk about nutrition, try to figure out, you know, if they're going to have to switch positions, what they're going to need. Talk to their, if they have an agent or whoever, a coach or somebody, about some things that they need to work on from a position-specific standpoint. But unfortunately, every guy that comes in, when we do that testing on the first day, there's a lot of head down. You know, a lot of people like finish their 40 and they're like, oh God, like, I know, you know, I know I'm a 4.4 guy and they ran a 4.8 and it's like, I don't know what to tell you. You know, I of course at that time of year, nobody's running a great 40.
Yeah, and, exactly.
But there's a lot of guys that think they're one thing. And when the testing comes, they're always so mad about it. Not just with me, but I mean like at a pro day or the combine, they always think like, oh, I know I'm faster than that. Well, you know, 15 guys just timed you and, you know, that's just how it is. So,
no question.
So they need a little bit of a reality check, I think, at first. And then, we get right into the instruction on day one, because that's the most important part of it.
Well, the education of the athlete's number one. And, you know, one of the things that I've respected about you all through the years, because having, you know, being a strength coach, having been a strength coach at the college level, you know that, A, they're not going to run the best time right off the season. B, you know that in 8 weeks, you're a resource, you're a tool, you're something that can benefit and help the athlete from an individual standpoint. But it's a culmination of all the years of training that gets them to pro day, and you've always been fantastic about that, and do a great job. What is give an example of the daily schedule, the weekly schedule? You know, once you have those guys in the program like you do now, what are they doing from day to day?
Well, we break up our lifting in an upper lower split. We go Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. We take the weekends and Wednesday off. Some people that run combine prep places think like, oh, you got to have the guys in there 7 days. And I've had agents even say, well, you're going to go like 2 times a day. And are you going to be going 7 days a week? And I mean, we go at it hard, and there's just no way a guy could recover from all that. So, you know, sometimes I hear like, oh, we go 7 days a week, but 3 of them, like, you just go in and stretch and talk for 2 hours. And it's like, that doesn't really count in my book. So
that's the recovery, right?
Yeah. Like that, I'm not going to charge you extra to come in and, you know, and sit down and hold your hand while you stretch and all that kind of stuff. So, I do think there's a lot of overkill with other combine prep stuff, but I don't know exactly what everybody's doing. So we go 4 days a week. Usually, we focus a lot on like, on our drills and speed stuff on Mondays and Thursdays. We do more position work and lower body stuff on the Tuesdays and Fridays. We break up our lifting into like, it's more high rep and muscular endurance on the Monday and Tuesday, and then heavier weight on the Thursday and Friday. It's kind of interesting to see how guys react to some of that kind of stuff, because when we start blowing them up with the high rep stuff that they're going to have to do, especially big guys that are, you know, they're hitting 20, 30 reps on bench press.
Sure.
It kind of freaks them out. You know, they're pumped up. Like, you know, they look like bodybuilders, you know, that day. But they get into it because they like it. They start rolling up their sleeves and everything, and everybody thinks that they're jacked up.
Yeah, some picture you posted on Facebook the other day. They're all yoked up, ready to go.
They were, man. They were. You couldn't really tell like that much on Facebook, but the reason we took that is we were walking around like, oh my God, you guys are jacked. Let me get a camera out right now. And then, you know, that we start off the whole process really focusing on the techniques of the drills. And then as time goes on, we start doing more skill work and like position work and conditioning. And then at the very end, we back off and kind of do a, you know, a taper, if you will. And it, you know, through doing this for several years, like every guy that, that hits their, you know, when they hit their pro day, they feel like $1 million and they're like, oh my God, I didn't think I was going to jump that high and everything. Cause they get that taper and everything kind of comes together at the end.
What are some of those most common technique flaws that you're seeing as they come through, whether it be on the start or, you know, maybe in there, you know, let's take the bench press, the 225 or the vertical.
Yeah. You know, some of it is just one thing that you and I had talked about is what are some of the things that college coaches can do, or what are some of the mistakes that guys make? A lot of it, it's no one's fault. A big problem is that they've been training for football, kind of like you and I were talking about. They've been training for football for the last 4 or 5 years, not for the combine. And it's no one's fault that the combine really doesn't have that much to do with football. So you're all of a sudden going from being a football player to you've got to run a 40 in a shuttle and do all these things that, you know, like that are so technique intensive, and a tenth of a second on a, you know, on these drills makes a huge difference, and everything's got to be perfect. So, right. So stuff that I see that seem to be problems are acceleration mechanics. Guys are not comfortable in their stance, and they've got really bad acceleration mechanics. They come out with short little choppy steps. The big guys can't get their knees up to save their lives. You know, running backs are all hunched over like they, you know, like they're coming through the hole, getting ready to take a hit rather than actually, you know, it's more like a track event at that point.
Right.
So they have to kind of get used to all that stuff. And that takes a few weeks to get feeling normal and normal enough that they don't have to think about it so much anymore. On bench press, I see a lot of guys who all they've done is, you know, sets of 3 to 5 for the last couple months. And all of a sudden, you know, they can max out with 400 or 500 pounds, but they're only putting up 225, you know, 20 times.
Right.
And it's a different event. Vertical jump, guys a lot of times just don't have technique, or they haven't done it in so long. So a lot of it is just that they're not used to doing these things, especially the shuttle. It's like guys are coming in doing something that they've never done before sometimes. and it's cool to see, you know, there's some places that come, you know, guys come from that first day, it's like, oh, you know, somebody showed you something. That's pretty nice.
Right.
So I don't think a college strength coach should necessarily worry about preparing a guy for the combine specifically, but it would be nice to have them for your seniors that, you know, have a shot, not every single guy in your program. It would be nice to let those guys, you know, maybe once a month hit 225 for max reps, and you know, maybe run some 10-yard sprints as part of conditioning from a 40 stance, so they at least kind of get used to it. And it doesn't have to be a big part of what you're doing, because it, like I said, it doesn't really have much to do with football. But if those guys could start some of that a little bit earlier, that would be helpful. And guys that are going to a January 1 bowl game, from their last regular season game to that bowl game, usually there's like about a month there. That's a perfect time to let guys kind of start experimenting with some things. And mm-hmm. Why not put up 220? If you're healthy, you know, let them put it up at the end of the workout just so they kind of get a feel for it, or let them run a few sprints or kind of get used to a shuttle. Nothing that's going to hurt the kid or anything. Just, you know, kind of get them in the groove a little bit, because that's what they're going to have to do. And
right. You're talking specifically with the seniors there that are going to be going on. You know, obviously there's always that risk that you're going and you're trying to prepare the athlete for that bowl game and try to keep them from getting injured, but throwing it in as protocols, where you're doing 10-yard starts, which don't do anything, finishing off a workout with a finisher such as 225, those things absolutely could be easily implemented.
Absolutely. And, you know, I totally get that guys are worried, you know, oh, we don't want to injure the guy before a bowl game, but that's the same thing that I'm, you know, that's my philosophy too. Like, first thing I tell these guys is, if you're feeling anything, like, we cannot risk getting you hurt right now, right before your pro day. So everything has to be super safe and efficient. And, you know, I suppose if you're worried about running a 40 and pulling a hamstring, well, maybe maybe you got to think about like, okay, well, we need to do some sprinting throughout the year so that it's not like they've never done it before.
Right.
But yeah, you got to be safe. And it's a huge part of what I do, at least with the combine prep, is making sure guys do not get hurt.
Always amazed with the number of guys that are 500 pound bench pressers, but go to the combine and they only do 20 reps.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of crazy, isn't it?
You know, what we would do a lot and is use video, you know, throughout, you know, and I think that's something because, you know, all these claims, I remember way back when, and I won't use schools, but school A that we were playing that year, that was a unbelievable program, you know, had 2,500 pound bench pressers, and they had, you know, a guy that was repping 405 for three on the incline, you know, yeah. And our O-line coach came down and was, you know, every one of their guys are 400 plus on the bench, yeah. On the O-line. Why aren't our guys like that? You know, and,
yeah.
You know, but then you go to find out that, you know, the guy goes to the combine and doesn't even put up 20 reps on 225. And every one of our offensive linemen were putting up 20 plus.
Yeah.
You know, so video from a reinforcement standpoint that, hey, we're legit, but also from a teaching tool, you know, because athletes, they learn kinesthetically, auditorily, and then, you know, visually. It's a great opportunity to go back and watch their start and correct technique, yeah. Or show them flaws with their vertical jump or their bench press. What are some of the things you do with technology in combine prep to help benefit them for that day?
We do the same thing. We use a lot of video. I got an app called Coach's Eye, which is essentially like, it's like the high-end biomechanical video analysis software systems, but it cost me $5. So, it, you know, we can just hook it up to an iPad or something. We can take the guys, and then we can play it. We can move it forward and backwards and watch, you know, exactly what's going on. I can draw lines all over it and show them what they should be looking like. And it's cool because that 40 start is so physics dominated, you know, like it's all physics.
Yeah.
And you can be told what's going on, but kids these days are the auditory learning is kind of a lost art or a lost skill. It's all visual now. Yeah. Kids are just used to video, you know, like
that's what everything, they've done since going into high school. You know,
it's all they know. Yeah. So once they can see it, kids are like, "Oh, yeah, now I see. It feels like I'm getting my knees up, or it feels like I'm leaning forward, or whatever it is. But oh yeah, I can see what I'm doing now. And oh, I see my left leg. You're right. You know, you've been telling me my left leg's not getting up, but now I can actually see it. So that's very, very helpful. You know, something else that kind of hit me besides the technology. Is that a lot of stuff that guys were taught to do in college playing football is like, okay, well, kind of forget about that for a couple months now. Things like doing nice, good, smooth reps on bench press. You know, if you're going to hit a big number with 225, like you're going to be moving as fast as you can. You're going to bounce a little bit. It's going to be sloppy. You're going to do some lockouts and, you know, let men hit one or two more. Like it's just totally different, you know, set and rep schemes than what you're used to. And same with like lower body training. We have to really kind of tone down a lot of the lower body work, because if I get them too sore and fatigued, then they can't run fast and they can't work on a drill. So, you know, you were saying it's amazing to see guys that can bench press the moon, but then, you know, kind of suck at the bench test. It's the same with guys who come in and they're like, I can squat 600 pounds. And then they run like a 6 second 40.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, obviously something's not working here. Or I can clean 350 pounds, but you know, I've got a 22 inch vertical jump and my 40 is, you know, a 5'6". Like, okay, well, something's not working here. So, there's been some research studies, you know, over the last couple of years showing that there's not a whole ton of transfer between strength and actually the running speed. So, it's how well you can apply that force into the ground and actually do the technique and how quickly you can apply the force. So it's kind of like we have to take all that strength that they've built up with guys like you over the last 5 years and then say, okay, now here is how you apply it into the ground so that you can run faster. And if guys could start that process a little bit earlier, I think there'd be some better 40 times.
Sure. I'll link that. You said that was Coach's Eye is the app that you use?
Yeah, Coach's Eye.
I'll link that up in the show notes. That's I'm not familiar with that one. How does it relate compared to maybe Kinesio Capture or some of the other ones that are out there?
It's probably real similar. It's really easy to learn. I mean, it's really, really easy. And that's what I like about it. It doesn't do like a million things, but I don't need it to do a million things either. And you can take the video and you can email it to the kid or to somebody right there on the app. And that's pretty cool too. So yeah. You can do a bunch of different. The other thing I really like about it is you can, after you take the video, you can hit record and you can talk over it while the kid's like doing his 40 start or something.
Oh, wow.
You could talk, draw lines, it records it all, and then you could email that to somebody.
Oh, that's pretty neat.
That's pretty cool.
What, you know, when kids come from high school to college, you can tell them right away that, you know, most common deficiencies were, you know, no training of the posterior chain, you know, squat depth and technique. What are some things that you see, you know, like you would see a high school kid going to college? What are some issues that you see from college going to the pros are things that are maybe deficiencies that we can get better from?
It's different from different schools. I see the smaller school guys just not really having a whole lot of coaching in, well, really on anything. You know, there's a lot of technique work like on the field. They're like the receivers are just running crappy routes and stuff like that. Which it sounds bad to say that, but it's just they don't have the same kind of coaching. I see guys really focused on the strength aspect in college, but they don't really run much, especially big guys. And I understand why. I mean, it's like that in the NFL too. Like big guys don't really want to run that much, but you've got to run. You've got to be able to run. You have to be able to move. And so a lot of guys come in thinking like, well, I got to, you know, I can squat this and I can clean that. And I tell them all like, nobody cares anymore. Like it really doesn't matter. Like, yeah, your name's up on the board as the, you know, as one of the strongest guys on your team. Doesn't matter anymore. No one cares what those numbers are. It's all now about your 40, your shuttle, and can, you know, that kind of stuff. And can you play? And, you know, for some guys, I think that's kind of a hard transition because it's been ingrained in their mind for so long. I got to put up these big numbers and I'm getting rewarded for it. And, I mean, you know, people don't really care in the NFL. Nobody cares what you clean in the NFL.
No, not at all. Not at all. It's all about the on-the-field performance.
Yeah.
What are the recommendations that you have? So, you know, a kid doesn't go away to train at a combine facility.
Yeah.
He stays in-house. You know, from a strength coach perspective, obviously you love that guy. You want to train that guy. You want to spend – but you're already working 12, 14 hours a day.
Yeah.
What are some recommendations that you have – for the college strength coach to take that 2, 3, 4 guys that stay behind and start to get them prepared for the either their pro day or the combine?
Well, first of all, I think it's super nice of you guys to do that. I honestly don't know how you have the time and energy. I was just talking to recently Aaron Wellman at Michigan about that, and he spends so much time with these combine prep guys that it's amazing. I just don't know how you guys are able to fit it in. I would say that, you know, if you're a college coach and you're kind of thrust into that position, I would spend a ton of time working on the technique of those drills, especially their 40 start. You're gonna get a lot more. You're gonna make a lot more progress on the 40 start than you are on the top end speed. I wouldn't worry so much about super heavy lower body lifting anymore for the next couple months. I would let them practice those tests. Make sure the guys are in shape. I do see, that's one thing that's kind of cool. I'll see at different pro days or at the combine, guys who train at school usually are in pretty decent shape because their college coach is going to make them run.
Right.
Versus certain combine prep places, they don't do much conditioning and they don't do any position work. and they get to the pro day and they're just gassed and they look kind of like crap. So make sure they're in shape. Let them do their position drill work, because that's kind of the underrated thing. Everybody thinks, well, you just got to run a 40 and bench and vertical jump and all that. But they forget that when all the testing is done, they break the guys up into their position groups and they put them through drills. And
after you've given your best effort on all these tests, now you got to go and actually perform, which you're right. It's very, it's eye opening a lot of times.
It is, because you see a lot of guys that, running your good 40 and everything, that's just kind of like that just kind of opens the door so that they can say, okay, well, now let's watch him do his position drills. But then if you suck at your position drills and you're dropping balls and you're, the DBs can't, they've never done the, some of these drills, it's like, oh God, what have you been doing? And that's too bad to see. So I would get, if I was college coach again, I would get with some of the position coaches, and say, hey, could you, give me a couple of the drills that we might be, we may want to look at, and, maybe go back to your old pro days and see the different drills that they tested the guys on, or put them through, because it's usually almost the same stuff.
Oh yeah.
Or very similar, depends on the scout.
Or watch the NFL Network now, because they put it all on TV.
Yeah, it's all on there. Yeah, it really is. And just, make sure that they're doing them. You don't have to necessarily correct all their technique and mechanics, but they at least should be familiar with the drills so that it's not,
right,
it's not like all they've been doing is running a 40.
Well, you touched on it there. One of the biggest things that I've seen through the years is you spend 6, 7, 8 weeks getting ready for these tests. Maybe you're fortunate to have the coach that the facility that's going to prepare you for the route running and the position specific drills. But a lot of guys don't realize that they walk right out of that combine and usually there's a mini camp, that next weekend.
Yeah.
So now you got to go play football, and so it's a combination of having a good facility like yours where you're getting them in shape, you're preparing them for the game, and then you're also spending that time to correct technique in these lifts and prepare them for a skill, which is what testing is. It's a skill just like anything else.
Yeah.
That you can definitely improve upon, what is, to kind of finish things out here, what are three things, just what you mentioned with the start, and I mean, you wrote the book on speed. I mean, what are three things with the start that a strength coach can look for, three practical things that you can look for that you automatically, a red light goes off and you're able to say, hey, we need to fix this.
Okay. Well, like I said earlier, it all comes kind of down to physics. So they need to have the best forward lean that they can possibly have, but it's got to be their whole body. Like their whole body has to be leaning, not, bent over. Most kids have to get their knees up a lot higher than they're used to. And that goes right along with the forward lean. If your knees aren't coming up higher, you can't get that forward lean and your foot comes down prematurely and then you end up standing up straight. So they got to get their knees up really high. And, a lot of kids want to come out of that 40 with these quick little turnover steps and, they're dinky little quick steps. But if we kind of go back to our physics books, which nobody wants to, but, if you think about how to overcome inertia, it's with longer impulses rather than quick little impulses. So, I try to get kids to think, like, if you're going to push a car, and you're starting it out, are you going to like take little dinky little steps, or are you going to have some long, powerful steps to overcome inertia and some kind of develop some momentum? And then they're like, oh, I kind of get that. So I have to usually give kids permission to take longer, they feel slower strides on the first 3 to 4 steps in exchange for covering more ground on each step. Mm-hmm. So, kids have to really understand that they have to lengthen out those strides, drive backwards as hard as they can, and really cover ground on the first 3 to 4 steps, because that's what's going to build up the momentum and the velocity quicker than, little dinky steps that are going to make you end up standing straight up. And it's very different though than, it's very different than football, because that's just, it's not really what they're used to doing. So sure. I would say coaches need to look for those things. Kids have to get their knees up higher most of the time. They have to really finish each stride. So, they're taking those long, powerful strides and just understand that their turnover is going to appear a little bit slower on the first few steps because they should be covering a lot of ground. And if you actually look at some of the greatest sprinters in the world, you know, people think that, oh, Usain Bolt comes out of the blocks kind of slow. Well, no, he doesn't. You know, he sets world records. You know, like, he's not coming out slow. He's just taking such massively long steps to overcome inertia that it looks to us like his turnover is slow, but he's covering so much ground. And that's what, coaches can try to help kids kind of replicate.
Sure. Well, we take for granted so much, you know, that a fast kid has great technique, and that's not always the case. You know, I remember, one of my jobs, you know, the fastest kid on the team walking up, unbelievable, runs a 4.41 electronic 40, but puts the same foot, same hand down, you know, and has awful start, you know.
Yeah.
So there's room for improvement there, you know. And I always tell our coaches that we can make a kid faster. We can't make them fast necessarily.
Perfect. You know? That's right. And I have to tell agents that all the time. Like, you can't make.
There's a genetic ceiling there, you know.
There is. And you can't make chicken salad out of chicken crap, as they say, you know. So kid comes to me running a 5-second 40 in January.
Right.
Probably not going to run a 4-5, you know, in February. And, they have to kind of understand that.
No question. Well, Jim, I appreciate you coming on, man. What are some of the things you got going on right now? I know we can find you at ultimatestrengthandconditioning.com. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, ultimatestrengthandconditioning.com, we created a couple years ago. We're doing a ton of big changes on that. I've got info on there from strength coaches from all over the place. You know, there's interviews, there's articles, there's videos, there's instructional stuff. There's some funny and entertaining things on there as well. And it's just a great resource for anybody who is into coaching, wants to be a better strength coach, whether you're at a college or, you know, you're at a private place, or even for personal trainers who might work with athletes. And there's even stuff on there for athletes. There's programs and things that they can follow. So There's hundreds of different pieces of content on that site. So great resource for anybody interested in strength and conditioning. And then obviously our place here, Total Performance in Michigan, keeps us busy pretty much all day, every day. And I'd love to hear from people if they want to find me on Facebook or email me or whatever it is. You know, I love interacting with coaches, and anything I can do to, you know, if there's any way I can help out, just like this kind of like short little tips for coaches or anything like that, love to talk to people.
Yeah, well, we'll make sure we put all those links in the show notes. But hey, man, you've always been a great resource for me. One of the things I respect the most about you is that how committed you are to helping educate and make our profession better. And so I appreciate you coming on, man, and
look forward to
following up for more.
Yeah, for sure.
We'll talk. All
right, Ronnie.
We'll see you, buddy.
Take care, man.
A couple quick housekeeping things before you go. Make sure you check out the links that we mentioned to connect with Jim or any of the things that he's got going on, as well as if you're an aspiring strength coach, if you're just getting into this field, I created a product a couple years back. It's the same lectures that I would give our interns that have come through, and everything from how to write a strength and conditioning resume to how to conduct a strength and conditioning side interview. If you're interested in that, go to strengthcoachbasictraining.com.